strength training, the goal is to use the weight in order to deliver a stimulus to the body. So a lot of people using the technology mistakenly presume that the goal of everything we're doing here is to get number go up on the screen. Well, that's external, and there's no prizes for that.
Like, if you can't lift the bar at the end, but you're really still focused on your biceps, congratulations. You've achieved the goal of using a really beautiful, powerful stimulus and machine to fatigue that muscle to make that muscle bigger.
A great analogy we've started to introduce to the members is it's how a fire can heat your dinner or a fire can burn down your house. The fire is not good or bad. You don't have to stand in the fire to get warm. You could just be right next to it, removing all the barriers to entry. That's kind of the name of the game for these pathways. What we've been doing is effective in the same way that driving 150 miles an hour in your car is effective. But even if you cut that in half and did 75 miles an hour, you're still beating the horses.
Our goal is to just keep you on the road for life. Welcome back, everybody. What's up, Jim?
You're looking at it, living the dream.
Where have you been?
All over the place. I had a bit of a holdout, didn't want to appear on any podcast, but my people talked to your people, came to an agreement, and I'm back.
Finally. If our members are like me, not to get too sappy, but I've missed you.
Huh?
Is that too direct?
Oh, no, it's just direct enough in front of the podcast viewing
people.
World. Yeah.
Well, I'm speaking for people. Them.
Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate that.
No, it's awesome. It's a pleasure having you back, and I know people have missed you. And so today we have been talking about different ways of training in prior episodes, different methodologies. If you've seen any of those episodes, we call them pathways. And of course, within those pathways, there are protocols. And if you're wondering where the heck are these pathways, it's taken us some time to get them.
It's not the simplest thing. It's not just a back of a napkin thing. Turns out you got to write computer code, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
So by the time this airs, you might have already experienced these pathways, or they will be coming soon.
Yep.
And at the same time, we've also been talking a little bit in our studios about, I don't know, I call it this like a stimulus paradox, like two truths at once. And the reason it resonates that way in my mind is that the reason our fast fit machines are so effective is because of the stimulus. It's like the big important part of that triangle, so to speak. And at the same time, you need to be careful depending on who you are and where you are with the stimulus. So let's just dive in today, Jim. Let's first talk about like the stimulus and form and all these things that we're talking about, and maybe we'll land on the pathways.
Yeah. So used to be in the early versions of this technology, the main advantage was that you could go as hard as you wanted all of the time. And in so doing, you would maximize all the elements of the exercise stimulus, primarily the mechanical tension, the mechanical loading. And that's primary, and little mechanoreceptors in all your muscles, and just sensing however many pounds of force is transmitted through them, it provokes an entire series of like dominoes that fall that result in the adaptations that we're looking for from strength training. So mechanical tension, good.
Yeah.
Got it. So then with a weight, we've talked about how you're underloaded. You have to purposely reduce the amount of mechanical tension so that your exercise can be safe and practical and of a sufficient duration. So, not good. So the technology comes out a decade and a half ago, and all of a sudden we don't have any of those limitations. So we can have as much mechanical tension as we can handle, that of which we're capable, without being unsafe, without wasting your time and having to do an hour and a half long session to accumulate. And so it made sense that, okay, well, that's the way to do it, which is very much like, all right, we've had horses. Now I've developed a car. The top speed is 150 miles per hour. Cool. So I have to drive it at 150? Well, that's the most efficient way to get from A to B, but it has some drawbacks sometimes.
Right.
So if you're on the Autobahn and you're very experienced at driving cars, yeah, that is the best way because you're not going to crash and you're not going to ruin the car. You know how to maintain a car, et cetera. So there are certain people for whom maxing out, going as hard as you can in good form, is just fine. I'm one of these people. I've been using this technology since September 2013. It's been coming up on 13 years, and I'm good.
Yeah,
I've had certainly no acute injuries, no snaps, tears, pulls, ruptures. But I've also, it's very seldom that I'll ever have a time where, yeah, my neck is a little sore from the workout yesterday, or my knee was talking to me.
Let me, don't lose your train of thought.
Yeah.
But let me, when I listen to podcasts right now, people use this phrase that I hate. I'm going to use it today. I want to double click on that.
Oh, boy.
There it is.
I'm going to unpinch my fingers on that.
Uh-huh. So
nice.
Because you mentioned good form there. And I think this is a good moment because, yeah, I'm the same way. I really like training on what we call our peak pathway, right, which is how we've had members training for a long time now. And I feel good. I feel prepped for it. I don't feel like I get my aches in or anything like that happening. But I have to focus on proper form because if your goal is just to make number go up on screen, when you get more fatigued, the best example I like to give is the standing bicep curls, right? It's pretty easy. You're doing bicep curls and maybe you're focused on good form and you're just working, for me, this very small muscle. Sad, so sad.
It's just one of the smaller muscle groups, yeah. Kyle's bicep.
Compared to my thighs or anybody else's biceps.
Yeah.
And so as you get more fatigued though, and you're like, oh, I'm really trying to keep the numbers high on the screen, you could get creative. And so for people like myself, you might lean back a little bit,
sure,
and use your low back and use your legs, which is sort of like really dumb because you're obviously not then working the bicep.
Right.
And but you're sort of misinterpreting, hey, yes, we want you to get stronger and we want you to use the screen as a biofeedback mechanism. But at the same time, you can be using all kinds of different improper angles and joints and muscles, and then you're not working that thing. So,
right.
Sorry for the rabbit trail, but
that's a great point. It's a mirror image of the difference between strength training and weightlifting. The distinction being, in weightlifting, like the sport of weightlifting, the goal is to use your body somehow to get this weight up. Strength training, the goal is to use the weight in order to deliver a stimulus to the body. So, does the weight go up and down? I don't really care. I'm just using it. It's not the goal. This is the goal. My muscles, target muscles is the goal. And it's the same thing here. It's an external versus an internal focus. So a lot of people using the technology mistakenly presume that the goal of everything we're doing here is to get number go up,
yes,
on the screen. Well, that's external, and there's no prizes for that. There's no sport of fast fit numbers. There's no, you get nothing for it. It's a good, in retrospect, to see how you're doing, but in the moment, that shouldn't be a goal of yours. And so as a result of this external focus, people change things like you were just describing in the bicep curl. They start with knees slightly bent, as one should. And then as the biceps get a little tired, maybe I'm going to stand up taller, which gives me more of a stretch at the bottom. So number goes up.
Right.
Not good. Or you lean back a little bit. Or even some people drag it,
right,
for friction along their body. And of course, the trainer's there to say, bet that, yep, no, we don't do that. And so the end result of that correction is that as you're lifting the bicep curl attachment, it stops moving up, mm-hmm, because you can't lift because you're fatigued. So you can't get to the top of the range of motion. And the instruction is, nobody cares. Change nothing. Just keep on pulling.
Right.
You'll catch it on the way down. You're good. So that fatigue is actually highly desirable.
Yeah,
so,
you want to see.
Correct.
Theoretically, the numbers just get almost to nothing. Like if,
right,
you can't lift the bar at the end, but you're really still focused on your biceps, congratulations. You've achieved the goal of using a really beautiful, powerful stimulus and machine to fatigue that muscle to make that muscle bigger versus, right, like you said, the paradigm of I'm going to use my biceps to make the software do something.
Right, to make number go up.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so a great analogy we've started to introduce to the members is it's how a fire can heat your dinner or a fire can burn down your house. The fire is not good or bad. But the phrase is, I think Dana came up with this, our COO, shout out Dana. She came up with, you don't have to stand in the fire to get warm. You could just be right next to it. It's a better use. So in relation to the use of fast fit technology for the purpose of delivering a stimulus to the target muscles, that holds true as well. An 80 or 90% effort on a fast fit machine, you're getting most of the way there. There's not much you're missing over a long enough time. And you ask the question, well, compared to what? And so if my risk for little aches and pains and my knee talking to me and my shoulders kind of feeling it, if that is a risk for me and for many members, so basically anybody 40 and up, that is seeming to be a greater and greater risk. That little extra that you get from going all out and maxing out all the time, it's not worth it. The risk reward doesn't check out. And so just step it back just a little, just out of the fire.
Yeah.
And right next to the fire. It's good because the alternative is no fire at all.
Yeah.
The alternative is something that the people who come to FastFit are either unwilling or unable to do, which is commit 4 to 5 days per week in a weight room.
Mm-hmm.
Most people just are not going to do
no.
it. Which is why with the introduction of this technology, you know, as I always say, the weight room the benefits of strength training used to be the exclusive domain of people who knew their way around a weight room.
Right.
And so they're not going to do that. And it's a percent of a percent of the people who regularly use a weight room. And we see them all on Instagram and we hear them, but this is really a small percentage of people. So the people whom we serve, they're the people who will not go do that, but still need to be strength training. In fact, it's even more important than when they were younger, when they had bone and muscle just from being young. Now it's even more important. The marginal utility is greater. And so as a result, they really need this. But if they go try to max out and they don't like how they feel the day or two afterwards, they'll just quit.
Yeah.
Because not being in pain and just kind of not being that strong is preferable to being really strong and my joints hurt.
Yep.
And so for the majority of people, your joints don't hurt. You can use the PEAK protocol and it's great. But now we have, or will have at the time of this airing, two new pathways, but the one on which to focus right now is what we call the IGNITE pathway. So the IGNITE pathway
takes— What a good name for not standing in the fire.
Right, for not standing in the fire.
Getting warm.
Yeah, yeah. We call it the warm pathway. The soothing pathway. Although I've been trying the first iteration like yesterday, it's not soothing at all. So what happens is you set a baseline and you go through a set of a given movement and you set a baseline as hard as you're willing to work. You can go at 100% if you want. You can go at some sub-maximal level and the software will save that and you have your own individual unique strength curve. Where your force is on the y-axis, time is on the x-axis, and then the software for your next time will take that strength curve and it will shift it down. The default is 87%, and then you have a tunnel, and you have to stay in the tunnel. So it has an upper bound and a lower bound, and for your next session, all you see is this tunnel in which you must stay. Mm-hmm. And so instead of maxing out and doing something wrong with your form just to get a higher number, you're actually very focused, and you get the feedback from the screen, and you stay in the tunnel. If you start to dip, you can push harder. If it gets up out of the tunnel, you can let off. But the result is a much more smooth and consistent contraction against the resistance as it moves. So smooth tension where you don't feel stressed and pressured and just redlining it right all the time. And
that's
so,
giving you so if you've done the PEAK one before, instead of saying, I'm trying to be above what was 100% last time.
Right.
This one's saying, hey, we want to get you close enough to 100% that you're going to get great results, but that difference, the chasm you're there is going to be easier on your joints. It's going to be less stressful. And instead of getting those super acute peaks and then dropping right off, you're actually producing more consistent tension throughout the full rep.
Right. Because a lot of people with the PEAK pathway, as soon as they hit their eccentric max,
too much fatigue.
And they'll just relax. Yeah. And they'll go, I hit my max, I can relax now. So it's not a consistent contraction. But now you just have to stay in the tunnel. And then the rub is like, okay, well, if I'm not going to my maximum, how do I progress? With weights, you never do one rep maxes as your workout. It's only a testing thing. So people do sub-maximal repetitions all the time, all over the world, and progress in strength and get stronger. So we know that's the deal, how it works. So ours, it's going to be some sub-maximal percentage of your max. We'll build 10% above it, 10% below it for the tunnel. You stay in it, and if you spend 51% or more of your time in the tunnel, congratulations. We're going to shift that whole tunnel up on the graph by 2%. Next time you do it again, it'll be progressive overload because you'll be doing a little bit more. It still won't be a maximal effort. And if you spend 51% or more of your time in the tunnel, congrats, we shift it up again. Eventually, you get to the point where you have to get pretty close to maxing out and you can't stay in the tunnel. All right, cool. We're going to bump you back down towards the beginning of the series and we start again. And the idea being that then at the end of the next series, your top point is higher than your top point of the previous series. And so you're getting progressive overload. It's kind of a natural periodization. And the rub is that as the months progress, you get stronger because you're experiencing concentric and eccentric progression. And you are never having to max out and put yourself at that risk. So that last little bit, it's diminishing returns, but an outsized risk for this group of people.
Right, you know, yeah. So. And you've got, I think we've told this story before, but either we haven't or maybe most people haven't heard it, but you have, you worked with a member in Illinois in the past.
I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, it's always a great example. And I think it can give people hearing this some evidence, so to speak, of how what we're talking about can be effective.
Yeah, so that's Bonnie. I always talk about Bonnie. She showed up. I can't remember. She was in her 60s. And she shows up for her introductory session. She says, I don't like working out. I don't like working hard with my muscles. I don't like the burning sensation that I get when that happens. I don't like this place. I don't like you. I don't like these weird machines you have back here. But my grandson, I knew her grandson, but my grandson says I need to be strength training and said that you have some solution for me. So what do you got? I said, Bonnie, you're in the right place. You come to precisely the right place. And I put her through the normal workout, except after I established her range of motion, I said, now remember, you don't want to work hard. You don't even want any burning in your muscle. You understand? So just don't try so hard, all right? You're going to push. You're going to resist. You're going to do all the things, but just not so hard. And she drew a very sad sort of meandering strength curve along the bottom of the graph.
Far from her max.
Correct. It might have been 10 or 15 pounds.
Okay.
And she got done. And of course, she felt like nothing had happened because nothing had happened. And I said, congratulations, Bonnie. This is fantastic. Okay. See you in a week. She comes back a week later and her performance is up on the graph. And I say, all right, now I want you to beat this gray line. But remember, you don't want to work hard. So don't beat it by a lot. Just trace right above it. Okay. And she does that. And she's not even out of breath. Her heart's not beating much faster at all. This continued over the week. Sometimes she'd come twice in a week. Sometimes just once for her schedule. But then something really cool happened. She kept progressing. So she's getting progressive overload. After her second one, I said, congrats, you're doing strength training. And that she'd never considered that I'm a person who does strength training. So that bit of confidence, it allowed her to gain that confidence and get comfortable with me, get comfortable with the machine, that it's safe. And about 6 to 8 weeks in, somewhere in there, we're doing our normal thing. Now there's a gray line, just beat it by a little bit. And all of a sudden on one of her negatives, I see the normal big spike in force. I go, whoa, Bonnie, what are we doing? And oh, well, I just thought maybe if I didn't push a little harder, because now she was confident. And that's even those low levels of tension that she was using were still new levels of tension for her, because she was sedentary and had never lifted weights in her life. And so now her tendons and ligaments and bones and muscles just a little bit had started to upregulate. She felt more comfortable. She felt confident that she could give it a run and have it be productive. And so from that point on, because she felt fine, and she had this big, well, I could just do that. I said, you could. And then we'll have you beat that gray line by just a little bit. And so within 3 months, she was working just as hard as any of my other clients, putting out great numbers, working hard, out of breath, heart beating like a normal workout. But if it weren't for that starting point for her, she would have probably quit pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't like to work hard. So the Ignite mode, the default, is still pretty tough, just not your max.
Yeah.
But we have the capability, if we want, to shift it down further. If we have a Bonnie walk in and we say, all right, and it's also self-regulating. You don't want to work hard? Okay, yeah. Your baseline workout just kind of
Exactly. Easy
does it. And then it'll set 87% of that,
exactly,
which very easy. And then it moves up and moves up. So it's like what I did for Bonnie, but as a pathway in the software for people who, I don't want it to be a miserable experience. So for me, it's not miserable at all. I love working really hard in short bursts. Mm-hmm. It's productive. I love, a lot of people love that. It saves time, all that stuff. But there are some people who need strength training, but I just hate that performance pressure. I hate the rah-rah, work hard. Like, surely there's a different way. Mm. And so we have now that different way where anybody at any desired level of exertion can get strength training without wasting their time, without hurting themselves, in a way that's quantifiable and it's convenient, it's not intimidating, and all the barriers to entry have been removed.
Yeah.
So
let me give an example. N=1 anecdote about how dumb and human I can be. So I got these machines in summer of 22, I think it was, and I got really, really pumped about them. And so I came into this great friends with Jim, and Jim gave me great coaching and said, look, here's what I would recommend for you. You just got to get on and do your best. And it was lots of great coaching on proper form and not going crazy and losing my mind and all kinds of things. And somewhere deep down, I had the same misconception most people have of, if I don't put a max out every time on my negative, even if I have to tweak some things, then I'm going to be not getting the right proper stimulus, or I'm not going to be getting the right progressive overload. And so a few months went by and I started feeling some aches in my back and some aches in my joints and things like that. And at the same time, I did a DEXA scan before, and I did a DEXA scan 6 months later, and I was up 10 pounds of muscle. And I was like, oh my God, this is working.
Oh, good, great googly moogly. It works. Yeah.
But then I was a little shy and kind of like didn't really want to go talk to Jim and say, hey,
this is messing up my joints, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm the opposite of a lot of our members. I'm a young, fired up male that's like, yeah, just give me the muscle. I don't care if my joint ache until it started impacting my quality of life with my kids and all kinds of stuff. Sure. Long story short, have this conversation with Jim. Now a few years have gone by. It has been quite some time, and it is infrequent, the amount of times that I hit some sort of new peak or some sort of new record.
Right.
I just focus on great form. I give it my best for that day. And producer Ben, if we remember to do this on the video, I'm now a few years in, and my recent DEXA, 25 pounds of muscle since I started on these machines. And so it's not like I got the 10 and then all of a sudden backed off and the muscle went away. Magically,
yeah.
It continued to be effective, just like you said. And so you don't have to stand in the fire. A great example is it's very popular, and you gave this example a moment ago. It's very popular to see things where people are doing like CrossFit, and so you're losing all the proper mechanics to just accomplish the goal.
To get that weight up.
Yes.
And see how many you can do for time.
Exactly. And so I think the big takeaway in today's episode is really two things. One, and that was so beautifully put, this sort of paradigm shift from using your tool to produce an outcome in your body and muscles versus right. using your muscles to produce an outcome on the tool.
Right.
And so proper form is vital. And at the same time, this is not dead obvious, and we're learning as we go. And we've talked about this in prior episodes. Different people have different needs biologically, psychologically, different histories and health histories and different goals. And so as we speak, Jim and I are in our Tarrytown studio. Yeah. It's late February. And just on the other side of this door, we've got some friends from our software development team that flew in from Zurich. And
yeah, incredible.
They are actually here to really just continue to help us nail the experience on the software with these pathways to make it work great for lots of people just in different
intuitively,
places.
Right out of the box, sit down and go, you know what to do.
Exactly.
And then you too can do strength training. So removing all the barriers to entry, that's kind of the name of the game for these pathways.
Yeah.
So what we've been doing is effective in the same way that driving 150 miles an hour in your car is effective. But even if you cut that in half and did 75 miles an hour, you're still beating the car or still beating the horses.
Yep.
And you're going to be getting where you're going a lot more safely. And the time difference, the extra rapidity with which the results arrive, strength training is not an option. So
right.
if you begin, you're going to be doing it for years and years. And we all have this curve, starts out, gains are fast, and then it levels off as we right. reach closer to our genetic potential. So it's like the client one time who asked me, like, how long is it going to take me to lose this 200 pounds? This is a big boy. I said, well, you know, if you think a couple pounds a week, and you know, it might take 2-4 years, something like that. He goes, well, I'll be 55 by that time. I go, well, how old are you going to be if you never lose weight? And so it's the same thing. It's like these gains that I would never get in the weight room because I'm not going to go are going to happen more slowly than if I maxed out all the time. Yeah,
yeah.
A little bit. And but you get to sustain the so half of a sure thing being better than twice and nothing comes up again. So now we have a way for – we have still have peak for the hard chargers who want to maximize everything. Great. We got it. And then we have this Ignite pathway that we might just go ahead and start everybody on just to get them used to good form and not being so worried about maxing out all the time. There's a time and a place for that. And maybe for a significant subset of our member population, maybe that's not like a majority of the people yeah. who need to max out all the time.
Yeah. And there's no, I love that you said that, like, especially when people start to plateau and as we age, strength training is not an option. And so to kind of wrap this up on that analogy you've been using, we're not putting in you in these vehicles at 50 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, 150 miles an hour, or maybe flexing between those based on where you are
right.
to hit some end destination. Our goal is to just keep you on the road for life
right.
and to keep you on that journey.
Right.
And that might mean periods where you're ready and excited to go 150. It might be periods where we go down to 50 miles an hour. But the point is we've got the right tools, and all of these are so much better than that horse
right.
that we can actually keep you on the road for the long run. And if adherence is king, like we talked about in our very first episode, I think.
That's right. That's right.
This matters most when it comes to those things. So chat with your trainer about your form. Chat with your trainer about the methodologies, trying some different things out. And remember, I think if there's one takeaway from this, use this best tool on earth
yeah.
to help you get healthier versus using your healthy body to do something to a tool, which then in the spirit of that makes you less healthy.
Right. Yeah, we're doing this for our health. So an injury, acute or chronic, is an unacceptable result of exercise because exercise is for health. So if you're one of the people who can max out all the time and it's fine because you use good form and you can handle it, awesome. That's me. That's you. But if you're someone who, you know, I don't think I need any parts of that. It doesn't sound enjoyable to me. I don't want to do that. We got you covered too.
Got you covered. Rad, Jim. Well, thanks for showing back up. I had to beg for months and you kept ignoring my calls.
Well, I came out of my house. I saw my shadow. I couldn't come back for another 6 weeks.
We are at the end of winter here.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That makes sense.
Still a new coat.
Well, cool, man. This was fun. And we'll get together soon and do some more of these.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
All right, brother. See you soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Fast Fit Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at fastfit.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make exercise simple, empowering, and a part of a life well lived. See you next time.